A very good afternoon to you all. My name is Jean-Victor Nkolo. I have the honor to serve as the spokesperson for Honorable Sam Kahamba Kutesa, President of the 69th session of the United Nations General Assembly. Before we start, I would like to say that if you wish to have information on President Kutesa, you have some leaflets here, and we will distribute them. You can also go online and find his biography and the priorities of the 69th session. There is simultaneous translation, but if you have a problem with the other official working language of the United Nations, let me know. Je crois qu'il y a de la traduction simultanée. Si vous avez un problème, faites-nous savoir. We will start with introductory remarks. I now give the floor, and it is my privilege to ask President Sam Kutesa to make some remarks. Excellency.
Thank you, Victor. I would like to send my warmest greetings to those who are monitoring this press briefing from a remote location, but even more so you. I'm pleased to meet you all today to brief you on my priorities for the 69th session of the General Assembly. I'm honored and privileged to steward the work of the United Nations General Assembly following my election on 11th June. A host of important issues will be deliberated in the General Assembly, and my effort will be to promote cooperation and forge consensuses among member states and to reach decisions and recommendations which promote our common interests. The theme I have selected for this session is delivering on and implementing a transformative post-2015 development agenda, which reflects these goals. During my tenure, I will focus on the following priorities: the formulating of the post-20 development agenda to make sure that we have a historic opportunity ahead of us. I will actively support this process and will work closely with member states on an ambitious and transformative post-2015 agenda at the 2015 summit. The other priority I have chosen is to advance gender equality and empowerment of women. During this session, we shall celebrate, as you all probably know, 20 years anniversary of the groundbreaking Beijing Declaration, which laid a roadmap for promoting women's rights. While we have seen a lot of significant progress over the last two decades, I think a lot remains to be done, and we must give it more impetus. I have also identified climate change as one of the priorities. We have a mechanism under the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, but I believe the General Assembly must continue to keep this idea alive and give it all the support it requires so that we can all reach a binding agreement when we meet in Paris next year. I also believe in strengthening multilateralism at the United Nations General Assembly and revitalization of the General Assembly itself and reforms to the Security Council and other agencies of the United Nations. As you probably know, next year we shall be celebrating 70 years of the founding of this organization, and it needs to be reformed in such a way that it can accommodate today's world trends. I hail from Africa, and I have experienced about successes of the UN in conflict resolution, and they succeed best when they work with the regional and sub-regional organizations. And I'd like to promote and strengthen the relationship between the United Nations and the regional and sub-regional conflicts, especially in conflict resolution and peace building. There are other subsidiary priorities, but I thought I should point these ones out to you all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. We will give you the floor in a second, but I would just like to remind you, if you could kindly give your name and the name of the media organization you represent, because the president may not know some of you, and some of you are also new to me, and I'm very happy to be here with you. We'll start with the representative of the United Nations Correspondent Association.
Thank you, Jean-Victor. President Kutesa, a warm welcome on behalf of the UN Correspondents Association. Thank you for the briefing, and we look forward to engaging with you over the period of your tenure. My question has to do, I'm Sherwin Briceby, South African Broadcasting. My question has to do with Security Council reform, which you mentioned in your brief remarks. What have you identified, sir, as some of the bottlenecks in terms of the intergovernmental negotiations, and how do we ensure that at the end of your tenure as president, we're not sitting here asking you the same question about Security Council reform, but you know, we're sitting here celebrating 70 years of the United Nations and a reformed United Nations at that?
Well, what I've seen is that, of course, there are different views from different groups in the United Nations relating to reform of Security Council. A lot of work has been going on. It may not have appeared as spectacular as we would all have wanted it, but some progress has been made. But my view is that I need to take it a stage further, and I want to come out with a text, a negotiated text, and based on issues for it to be negotiated. That is the outcome I would like to look forward to doing.
Thank you. Next question. Yes, Matthew.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Matthew Lee, Inner City Press, on behalf of the Free UN Coalition for Access. Thanks for the briefing, and definitely let's have a lot of question and answer during your time. Right after you were elected, I actually asked you about a specific conflict, which was South Sudan. And at that time, things were looking maybe more better than they are now. And you said that IGAD was involved, Uganda and Kenya. So I wonder, what do you think of development since, and how does this relate to what you've said about the Security Council working with regional organizations? Has there been sufficient interplay between the UN and IGAD and the African Union? And how can you use your presidency of the General Assembly to bring about what you said you'd like to do, which is a greater collaboration in resolving conflicts?
Definitely, when you interviewed me in June, we were optimistic that some progress would be made quickly. That hasn't happened. But IGAD remains seized of this issue of South Sudan, and it is currently, it had a summit meeting about a week ago in Addis Ababa, and the decision was made that unless the two parties cease fire and begin negotiations, the region will intervene and will impose sanctions, but also will have to take necessary action to make sure that they comply with what they have agreed upon. And so I think that the UN is working, the AU is working, and IGAD is working, and I think now more pressure has been put on both parties to ensure that they implement the cessation of hostilities agreement.
You know, just one other issue that came up in June was the Chuck Schumer, if you remember this one. I think you'd said Chuck Schumer had made a complaint about your election, and you'd said you're willing to meet with him if he asked for it. Has there been any movement on that? Have you heard from him?
I haven't, but I have actually invited him tonight for this reception. I hope he turns up.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much. Next question. Yes, please, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, Mr. President. My name is Matthew Carpenter. I'm a reporter for Yomiuri Shimbun, a Japanese newspaper, and I wish you the best of luck and success this coming year. My question is, you said that you want to build consensus and multilateralism in the United Nations, but with all the crises going around the world right now, it seems to be that those are things especially lacking in the world. How challenging do you see yourself in building consensus and multilateralism in the UN, and what measures do you plan on implementing to achieve this? Thank you.
Well, I think it's true that there are a lot of conflicts going on, but I'm delighted to see that there is an attempt by the actors to try and build coalitions rather than act unilaterally. And I've heard that President Obama has said he wants to seek the Security Council resolution to be able to forge this coalition in the Middle East against ISIS. And I think it's now beginning to return to what we were. Unilateralism has always caused problems, but when you act with the United Nations and the backing of the international community, we have always seen greater success. And I think that we should be able to return to this, and that's what I'm going to try and forge forward to bring about in this session.
Thank you. George, please introduce yourself to the PG.
Thank you. George Baumgarten, correspondent for some East African newspapers, including occasionally The Monitor. as well as Jewish newspapers in North America. You've been foreign minister for some years. You've been involved, I'm sure, in some of the mediations and all the... you come from a continent where conflicts seem to be springing up anywhere. If you didn't know that, and I'm sure you do in your bones, all you have to do is look at the Security Council this month or every given month, Security Council calendar, you know this. Do you think there are lessons from your experience, from your country's experience, from your continent's experience that you think you can bring to bear in your incumbency in the coming year as president of the GA? Thank
you. Yes, I think so. But let me also start by, from another point of view. I think the continent of Africa is more peaceful now than it was in the 60s and the 70s. We have more democratic governments all over that continent. It is true that conflicts continue to come up, and indeed the Security Council deals mainly with conflicts in Africa at the moment, as you rightly point out. Our experience, and I can tell you this, is that when we have worked with regional organizations and the international community has not imposed a solution but has worked with regional organizations, we have had better results. An example is Burundi. With the greatest respect that I have for the Carter Center, at the beginning it was proposed that the Carter Center should mediate the Burundi conflict. And the late President Nyerere said, by the time President Carter learns how to pronounce Burundi names, it will be 5 years. And indeed, when the President Nyerere took over, and subsequently President Mandela and my President Museveni, the conflict in Burundi has been resolved because the regional organizations have more intimate knowledge of the causes of these conflicts. That's one lesson. The second lesson is that we should reduce the gap between conflict resolution and peace building. When you end a conflict and you don't get into development and show the dividends of peace, the possibility of relapsing back into conflict is very high. And normally experience is that there is only about 1 year gap, one year window of opportunity. So peace building must come in or be brought in concurrently with conflict resolution. These are some of the lessons I have learned. And I think that if we implement them together with the UN here, and I want to bring them, that's why I'm talking about strengthening relationships between peace building and conflict resolution, strengthening the relationship between the UN and sub-regional organizations, we will be better positioned to solve the conflicts in Africa.
Thank you. Yes.
Congratulations.
And please, kindly introduce yourself. Thank you.
My name is Carla Stay. I represent Global Research. And this is a brief aside. You are from Uganda?
Yes.
You had a marvelous ambassador, Perezi Kumananwari. Perhaps you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a very good friend. I wanted to ask you, there's a great deal of talk about inequality, both within nations and globally, intra and inter, and it's predicted that the situation is going to be getting much worse, which would seem most likely that there would be an increase in conflict. This is an unsustainable situation. To what extent will you be addressing this directly? I know there are a number of indirect approaches to this, but it's a situation which evidently has led to the publication of a new book called Capital in the 21st century, which we know what the last one did. So to what extent will you actually be grappling with this?
Well, I'm glad that you say kind words about the former ambassador of my country. We have a good one, even who replaced him. He's equally good. But having said that, let me say that the post-2015 development agenda has a number of tenets in it. One is that agenda must be transformative. number one. Two, that it must be inclusive, talking about growth that is inclusive. And that's what you are talking about, and you are quite right that there is a lot of iniquity, sometimes between nations and regions, and among nations themselves, you have iniquity. But development that is, and growth that seeks to have inclusion, particularly women, when I talk about women and the youth, you know, we tend to say that the future is for the youth. If it is their future, let's involve them now so that they can participate in the dialogue that talks about their future. Women are half of the world's population, and if I may add, they produce the other half. So how do you ignore them in your development planning? So inclusion both at the point of when you are conceiving the agenda and when you are implementing it. I think that's where we shall be able to reduce inequities between and among societies.
Thank you. Yes, please introduce yourself.
Yes, Joseph Klein, Canada Free Press. I wonder to what extent you're going to put any focus on managerial reforms within the United Nations, the Secretariat and other parts of the UN. There have been proposals for streamlining, avoiding some of the duplication and overlaps and so forth. So I wonder to what extent you may be addressing that during your term. And related to that, you know, the budget process every year goes right up until the holidays, you know, literally Christmas Eve sometimes. Do you have any ideas for trying to streamline the process and make it somewhat more orderly rather than what seems to be a very last-minute scurrying around to reach consensus? Thank you.
Well, let me start with the last part of your question. I'm a very fortunate man. My predecessor, John Ash, dealt with the budget issues because they are biannual. So he solved that problem for me for the last year. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to address the issue why it always comes to the tail end, because whoever comes next year will have to deal with it. We are looking at revitalizing the UN itself. And this is to look at its efficiency and its effectiveness. We are putting together a team of ambassadors who are going to make proposals. We already have a resolution to revitalize the UN, and I'm going to put more emphasis on its systems. I don't think I'll have time to look into all the administration, particularly the Secretariat, but let me deal with the UN General Assembly itself, for which I am charged, to make sure that it performs effectively and efficiently. And then we can set up this group to look at the Secretariat.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yes, madam.
Hello, my name is Shauna McGee from Kyoto News, and I must ask a question on UN reform. You said you wanted to put a text on the table. What concrete steps do you have in doing that, and what will be your first order of business? That's one question. I have a second question on what you feel the highlights of the General Assembly session will be next week. There are many events, and how will they differ from what's going on at the Security Council, which is addressing issues such as Ebola and ISIL?
I didn't get the last part.
The last part. There are many issues going on at the General Assembly next week. How do they differ from the Security Council discussions on issues such as Ebola and ISIL? What are the highlights as you see them on the General Assembly session next week?
Well, next week, to start with the other part, the last part of your question, next week we have the Indigenous Peoples Meeting Conference. We have climate change summit. 140 heads of state have indicated they are coming, including President Obama, who will be here, the host president. And dare I say my own president is also coming. We have, it is giving special attention to climate change and giving it more impetus. And I think this will feed well into the meetings in Peru and Paris at the end of the year. Then you have a conference on population, a high event on population by the UN here. How are they different from the Security Council? Security Council largely talks about peace and security, but these are issues that are talking about the environment, like climate change, They are talking about population and the dividends of the population, or how to manage populations in our society. So they are addressing a different area that is different from what is normally addressed by the Security Council, which is largely peace and security. And now, about Ebola. Ebola is a big outbreak. There's a big outbreak in Africa, and I'm glad that the Secretary General has taken up this matter very seriously. Other countries have also formed a coalition to try and assist. I saw in the news that the United States has now sending about 3,000 people, men to go and women to go and help, because the biggest problem has been training those who can handle the outbreak, the people who are sick. So I think there is a greater realization about how to deal with Ebola now. So I am happy myself that this effort is being pushed and the Secretary General has taken keen interest.
Thank you.
Sorry. Part on UN reform, how do you intend to bring the task forward, and what's your first step?
As you know, there are a number of groups you at the UN. They are the P5, the members of the Security Council. You said you report for Kyoto News?
Yes, Kyoto News.
Uh-huh. Then there's another group called the G4. I'm sure you are acquainted with it. Then there are the African countries with the Zulini consensus. Then there is a group called L69. My first step will be to talk to these groups themselves and see what it is that divides them, and see if one can bring those divisions, their positions closer, and then evolve. What are the principles? What are the principles we like? We are talking about democratizing these institutions. We are talking about including other people. We're talking about inclusion earlier. So once we agree the principles and we narrow the gaps between the different groups, my hope is that then we can develop issues and have a text for negotiation.
Thank you very much. We have a time for a very last question. Oui?
I'm Herman Humbo. I'm from LC2 TV and BBC Africa Radio. You, on your priority, you spoke about the gender equality, knowing that in your country, Uganda, there's a lot of fight against homosexuality in the country. And how can you handle this within the international community? Also, according to several NGO reports, they spoke about ongoing violation of human rights. How are you going to handle all these things within the international community, well, as a PG?
Well, first of all, let me say that I'm president of the General Assembly. I'm not president of Uganda, although I come from Uganda, and I'm proud to be from Uganda. In Uganda, about the anti-homosexual, the United Nations has a position about rights of different people with sex orientations. So while I'm president of the General Assembly, I conform to the president, to the regulations by the UN. But even about Uganda, let me bring you up to date. There was a private member's motion that was brought to Parliament against homosexuality, and the bill was passed and assented to. The bill, that very act was challenged in the courts of law. The courts have said it was unconstitutional, and so I think the rule of law, even in Uganda, is working. So the courts are independent. They have ruled that law to be unconstitutional, and that's it. Now, with human rights, I am not sure that you are correct in NGO reports that Uganda is abusing human rights. We have, if you know, we come from, I don't know if you ever heard of a man called Idi Amin. Idi Amin was a terrible dictator, a butcher. He killed many, 800,000 of our own people in a period of 7 years. We have undertaken so many reforms. So many constitutional we have amended our own constitution and written actually a new constitution guaranteeing civil liberties. The very NGOs you are talking about work openly. We have an open multi-party system. We have a functioning democracy. We have the courts working. and independent. So I don't think that sometimes when you look at, I don't want to be judgmental, some of these reports are self, some of these things have become an industry. Let me leave it at that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you all. Okay. We would like to say that we are going to share with all of you the introductory remarks of the President, and we'll also provide you the details of the office of his spokesperson for further contact. Merci beaucoup et à plus tard.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.